Dustin Nielsen, live in Philadelphia, joins us now. Nilly, the Canucks, of course, are wheeling and dealing. And, man, the latest rumor out of Philly is that the Flyers are going to try to move into number one and get their fans heavily excited. What do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at it, the Flyers have some assets, I guess, they can move to if they want to. I don't know if it really makes a lot of sense for them outside of getting the hype here in Philadelphia. The building's starting to fill up a little bit now, but obviously it'll be a heck of a lot louder when if Bettman were to step up and say they got the first pick. But apparently they're in the mix. Obviously the Vancouver Canucks have been doing some maneuvering as well, and the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. So it would be something else if one of those three teams actually got it done. And I was thinking about this on the bus ride on the way over here. If anybody's going to move that pick, I wouldn't bet against Dale Tallon doing it. He's done some interesting moves in the past, so I could totally see him being that guy who does have the balls to move the first pick.
Dusty, what is everyone moving up for? Are they trying to get to Ekblad, or is there someone else?
I think it's probably a case-by-case scenario, to be quite honest with you. I don't think every team is trying to move up to get their hands on Ekblad. Everybody knows that Sam Reinhart, you know, has a lot of ties to that Vancouver area. So if the Canucks are targeting anybody, it would probably be him. If the Leafs are trying to move up, it would probably be Ekblad. And the Flyers, it's an interesting one. I don't know what the Flyers would be looking at as far as trying to move up outside of just stealing the show here, because I guess maybe it would be for Ekblad. I understand, you know, they've got some guys down the middle already. I don't see why they would have to be pushing with Giroux and Couturier and Chen, although they may have to give up one of those guys to get that pick. But if they were to move up, I would have to assume it would be for the defenseman as well. But I think it's basically either Reinhart or Ekblad. I don't think anybody's trying to move up to the number one spot to try to use it on Bennett or Draisaitl, because you probably could get that in the two or three if you really desperately wanted it.
Have you had a chance to talk to anybody from Buffalo? The Sabres, to me, their forward group's very similar to the Oilers. They got a lot of small, skilled guys. You know, they're high on Reinhart. Any reason why they're so much higher on him than Draisaitl?
No, that's a good question, actually. I don't know why they would be so much higher. Although, I talked to we had Bill Hoppe on yesterday. She talked about him a little bit, and talked to somebody else yesterday who also said that it would be Reinhart or Bennett for Buffalo, not Draisaitl at all. So I don't know what it is they have against Draisaitl outside of the fact. And this is probably it. I mean, we sit here in Edmonton and we talk about Draisaitl, and why do we in Edmonton think Draisaitl is a better choice? Well, because he's big and he brings that to the table. But if you're not sitting here and desperately looking at playing in the Western Conference, playing against a lot of big centers, not that they're small centers in the East, but we know that they're bigger out here in the West, I think a Western team would prefer Draisaitl over the other two. And I don't know if I talked about it with you yesterday or not, but talking to a few scouts, they talk about how Sam Reinhart, yeah, he's not as big as Draisaitl, but his hockey sense is extremely better, even though Draisaitl has a very good hockey sense, apparently. Reinhart thinks the game at a completely different level, and I think that might be the difference when you're looking at it. Buffalo's not going to have to play against the Getzlaffs and Kessler and Kopitar and those guys as often as these teams in the West would, which is why a Western team might have a little bit more of a bias towards the Draisaitl kid.
Dusty, do you talk to anyone from Calgary? I mean, I look at their position with the fourth pick, and anyone could follow them, but they got Monahan. I think any one of the centers would compliment Sean Monahan in Calgary.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. I talked with somebody from Calgary this morning, and I was saying, well, what are you hoping happens at four? And they said, well, it doesn't matter. Whoever the center is at four, that's who Calgary's going to take. And, yes, they have weaknesses basically everywhere, right? If Ekblad ended up there and the three centers were gone, of course they take him and they put him on the blue line. But Calgary, I mean, it's a little bit of a lesser extent to Edmonton. This is a good draft for Edmonton because they need a center or a defenseman, and they're going to get one of them at three. And with Monahan, I mean, in an ideal world, Reinhart at four to Calgary would probably have everybody down there just losing their mind, because I think Reinhart and Monahan would be a great complement to each other. But even Sam Bennett, I was talking about it yesterday, I guess, with, was it Mike Oak, who's the GM of Peterborough? I was asking him about Sam Bennett because his team played Sam Bennett and actually knocked Sam Bennett out in the first round. We're in the Ontario Hockey League playoffs this year. And he said that Sam Bennett is extremely skilled. We just don't talk about it enough because we talk about, you know, the comparisons to Doug Gilmore, how he throws his weight around and he doesn't have a lot of it to throw around. But we don't actually talk about how skilled he is as well. So either way, they're going to get a very nice compliment to Monahan, I would think, whether it's Bennett or Reinhart or whoever at four.
Yeah, I don't – people look at the weaknesses of all the players, and I understand that. But none of these guys are unskilled, right? Like the days of drafting the big unskilled guys early in drafts doesn't happen, especially for defensemen. Man, I did a whole history look, and I was surprised that. And when you saw most of the guys who failed in the top four picks were usually defensemen who hadn't ever put up any sort of real big numbers in junior, because basically now, and I shouldn't say failed, but like Craig Willannons and those type of guys, they're just defensive defensemen who are number six. These guys have got a lot of skill. It's just a matter of, will they get to the right situation where the team will be patient with them? Like in the case of Sam Bennett, I know he showed James Duthie he could do pull-ups the other day on TSN, and that's great. But the fact that he couldn't do one a few weeks ago, my concern is he's not physically strong enough yet for the NHL, and his long-term benefit would be to go back to junior for a year, regardless of which team takes him.
Yeah, I would be surprised. You're right. Regardless of who it is, I would be surprised if you don't throw Sam Bennett. It was this morning, I guess, we were talking with Ross McLean from ISS, and he said, yeah, maybe in an ideal world, you'd almost want all these kids to go back to junior, with maybe the exception of Ekblad because he's so physically dominant already at this age. But when you look at all these guys, out of the four guys that we've been talking about a lot, and who knows, maybe somebody surprises and one of those guys slips to five, whatever. Of those four guys, I think Sam Bennett would be the one who would benefit the most from going back to junior. And if he does end up in Calgary, I think that would be an interesting scenario because they're going to watch him in camp, and they're going to watch him probably through like nine games, and they're going to see that he's extremely skilled. They don't have a lot else down the middle, so it'll be extremely tempting to keep him up. But in the end, he's a guy who can get stronger. And if you look at the numbers, he didn't hit 104 points or whatever, so it doesn't jump out off the page, but he put up outstanding numbers in the Ontario League this year. So if he's stronger next year and another year under his belt, he would destroy that league next season.
Dusty, what about as far as the Oilers? Most likely staying pat at their number three, but anything else you hear the Oilers perhaps poking here and there for guys with salary cap issues?
With that cap number coming down, I mean, you just look at Kapke. There are some very good teams that are going to have to move some salary if they're going to be under the limit by the time the season starts. So a team not only like the Oilers, but some of these other teams should be able to take advantage of it. Now, as far as the Oilers go, I mean, they don't have a second-round pick and they don't have a third-round pick, so you could probably snake a player if you're trying to take salary from somebody for a pick like that. So they don't have that, so that kind of takes them out of the mix a little bit. They're getting essentially no interest in Sam Gagner, so I would be shocked at this point if he gets moved. And they seem pretty content at number three. Nothing against Sam Bennett, but the Oilers' three guys are Ekblad, Draisaitl, and Reinhart, and they're in a position where whoever it is, they will get one of those guys at three. So I don't see, unless an offer is outstanding and moved down, I don't see them moving out of that three spot. And I don't understand, because I don't think there's a lot that separates those three guys. I don't know why they would move up either. So I understand that Oilers fans probably don't want to hear this, but it could just be a night where they take whoever is there at three and they go about their business, and you don't really see much else from the Oilers.
The Oilers, with the new cap limitations of $69 million, the Oilers have $19.8 million to spend in cap space, which puts them at 20th. So they have a significant amount to spend. The low end, obviously, are the Sabres. The Calgary Flames have $29 million to spend. They've only got 14 guys signed, though, so they're going to be active. But, the Chicago Blackhawks have to shed some salary. If you're the Edmonton Oilers, you have to find a way, because it's not like Chicago has a ton of dead weight as far as money goes on that team. Where they're shedding salary, they're going to be shedding some decent players.
Yeah, you're right, 100%. That's the one team I looked at. And then Boston, I believe, has about $1.9 million in cap room, and they only have 18 guys signed. So what are they going to do? So you're going to be able to probably, or if not the Oil, somebody is going to be able to take advantage of one of these guys. And you make a good point with the Chicago Blackhawks. And who wouldn't you want on that roster, to be quite honest with you? And you would, any one of those players off that Chicago Blackhawks roster would help the Edmonton Oilers or any other weak team in somewhat of a significant way, I would think. So teams like Chicago and Boston are going to have to be very creative to not get into a position here where they're going to get hosed by some other team that has a lot of cap space, because if they don't, they're going to be screwed.
How'd you guys feel about bringing Chris Versteeg, $2.2 million from Chicago?
I know Chris a little bit from Lethbridge, And I don't think I'd do that. I don't think I'd bring Versteeg around this group right now. But that's just me. I've always thought he's a skilled player. He just disappointed the hell out of me this year when he went back to Chicago. So
that's I think that's the guy. When I look at this roster, that's the guy they try to.
Yeah.
He plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He does, and he's extremely skilled.
Yeah.
He's versatile. He played defense for a year in junior. He's not going to do that anymore, but he's willing to accept different roles on teams. So I guess that's a positive as well. Look, at this point, a guy like Versteeg could possibly help the Oilers. And aren't the Hawks only paying like half his salary anyway?
Well, yeah, they're paying part of it because
Florida's paying part of it.
Yeah.
So then the Oilers, yeah. So yeah, I mean, and maybe financially it might make some sense. I'm not the biggest Chris Versteeg.
Well, my question would be this: could Sam Gagne on the wing do what Chris Versteeg does? Would there be much of it?
Like, yeah.
if you're moving Sam Gagne the wing, is Chris Versteeg and Sam Gagne similar player?
Right, but I'm just
I would just say that I'd take Sam Gagne on the wing right now ahead of Chris Versteeg on the wing.
Well, I'm just looking
I'll just leave it at that. I think he could. Obviously, he hasn't played there as much as Chris, but that would be an event. I'd rather have Sam on the wing.
Yeah, I'm just saying, though, if you're looking at Chicago, I mean, they're not going to give up. I don't think Bickle or Shaw, even Ben Smith, I don't see these kind of guys being pried loose. Marcus Kruger.
Yeah.
What about Kruger? Kruger, I like Kruger. He's a good player.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's going to have to be one of those guys, though, right?
Right, but that's what I think.
They're going to do everything in their power to keep all their key guys together, which means some of those solid secondary guys. Like, I think they love Chalmerson, but he might have to be moved.
That's a huge hole.
Well, see, the thing is, Johnny Oduya has only got 1 year left on his deal. Yeah. Jarmelson's got four. And if they wanted to, they've got 22 guys signed. They could just stand pat with their guys.
And just go with what they had
if they wanted to, because they signed Raanta as their backup.
Sure.
So they could do that. But, man, all those rumors about Patrick Sharp and the fact that Kane and Taves both need new contracts and both of them want ridiculous raises, which they're not going to get. They're not going to go from 6.3 to 12.
Well, what do you think they end up at?
Here's the thing. If the cap right now is only at $69 million, mm-hmm. and maybe it goes to $74 million next year, the cap 2 years ago was at $70 million.
Yeah.
No one was making more than $9 million a year. If you want your team to be competitive, they could get their money, but they'll never be able to be on a championship team if both of those think they're going to get $10 million each, and then you're only going to have $50 million to spend on the rest of your team. There's no chance they can win.
I think they're within, if not at 10, they're within spitting distance of $10 million each.
Yeah, I bet you they're at 10.
Yeah,
When it's said and done, I bet they're at 10. Because you look at what they're going to sign, 8 years, $80 million.
Yeah.
In 8 years, $10 million won't even probably be top 10 in the league. If we're talking in the year, what is it, 2022?
Yeah. I don't say
it's a bargain because nobody's a bargain at $10 million, but I could see them getting that. But Gregor's right. I mean, unless that cap continues to go up quite a bit, they are putting their team in somewhat of a difficult spot.
Yeah, like they're never getting more money than they're going to have as the influx next year on the new ridiculous TV deal, right? Like, where are they going to keep getting all of this new revenue? Like, I think people are – because think about it. We're now in 2014. Mm-hmm. The cap's still lower than it was 2 years ago.
Right. No,
it's going to go up $2-3 million every year. Like, it might next year because of that TV deal in the start of it. But after
that TV deal, I saw them projecting $75 million.
Yeah, like, where is it going to go from there? I don't see that much more room to grow.
Okay, that's fair.
So that's where – and if you want to win, it's proven that you can't have too much wrapped up in a few guys. Just won't – because then what's Duncan Keith going to want? Because he's pretty valuable last time I checked.
Well, the good example there would be Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right? They have Crosby and Malkin on pretty impressive deals for those two players, and they're making a lot of money. But they have no chance to go out and add anybody to the wing. And they had nothing against UC Jokinen because he kind of fit in there, but he was the most they could afford. And look what happened to them, right? And they've got a lot of money tied up in Chris Letang as well. Way too much. But he's like seventh or sixth among defensemen in what they're getting paid. And I had that good year a couple of years ago. But you've got three guys locked up, and they're making, I don't know, like, what is it, 24, 26, yeah. 26 million between the three guys?
Yeah.
There's a reason that you can't go and add the help that you need, and there's a reason you can't get out of the second round right now.
Nilly, quick prediction. Who are the Oilers taking at number three?
Draisaitl.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I would love to see the discussion if for some reason it goes Ekblad-Bennett, because I think they're pretty high on Reinhardt as well, but I think they'll still go Draisaitl. Plus, I don't think Reinhardt will be there at three.
All right, man. Enjoy the draft.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good show.